Perfect is impossible, so let's strive for better and betterer. Tune in for inspiration and mini challenges across the 8 dimensions of wellness: emotional, physical, intellectual, spiritual, vocational, financial, environmental, and social. We make wellness fun and attainable so that you can feel awesome and do awesome. And now, your host, Jessica Jake.
Hi, everyone. This is Jessica Jake. Welcome to another episode of BetterAndBetterer.com. Today, I'll be talking with someone who's making a big impact when it comes to environmental wellness. So let's take a step back and hear how the NIH defines the environmental dimension of wellness. Understanding how your social, natural, and built environments affect your health and well-being. Being aware of the unstable state of the earth and the effects of your daily habits on the physical environment. Demonstrating commitment to a healthy planet. So today I'm excited to be speaking with Tara Grebe, who started a company called ZilchZeroWasteGoods.com. And as you can imagine, her store has products that are good for the environment and also good for us. Welcome, Tara.
Hello.
It's great to have you. We like to talk about the 8 dimensions of wellness, and we know that you're a pro when it comes to environmental wellness. So I think a great place to start would be to get some tips from you regarding safe products that we could use to clean our houses with.
Sure. Two discoveries that I have, and I probably only really dove into this 5 years ago, and maybe dabbled in it here and there over the last 20 years, depending on what I had going on. So I would say, number one, it's never too late to make a change. But number two is things that are daily, everyday things that I never thought about. So white vinegar is such an amazing do-all, catch-all product that you should always have in your kitchen in large quantities. Because if you have a spray bottle that perhaps had some other cleaner in it, you clean it out and you fill it in with equal parts vinegar and water and toss a tiny bit of dish soap in there, and now all of a sudden you have an all-purpose cleaner. You can, instead of dish soap, put a drop or two of olive oil in there, and now you have wood polish. So there are things that you probably have in your kitchen that you weren't even thinking about as cleaners who serve their different purpose. Maybe you're making potato salad and pasta or something and you have those items. Those are great. And if you don't want your house to smell like a salad because of the vinegar, you can really put your favorite essential oils in there. Another version of wood cleaner would be a touch of rubbing alcohol, water, a touch of olive oil, and then some lemon essential oil, and mix those things up in a spray bottle. And again, that's a great wood polish. So those are some things that are some of my favorites. And then another favorite that I have that I've discovered once I started this business is Castile soap. I had always seen it in the grocery store or different stores that I had been to, and I just thought it was another type of soap. Little did I know that it had so many versatile uses. So the way Castile soap works is what you are using it for will determine how diluted it is. So it can be used for everything from cleaning your face, your hair, and your body to being your laundry soap to being diluted in water and, again, making an all-purpose spray cleaner. You can mix it with water, and if you have a garden or house plants that may have little bugs going on, you can spray your plants with it, and it will get rid of the bugs but be safe for your plants and for you to eat later on. You can use it as dish soap. The list is endless. So I would say, for me, olive oil, lemon essential oil, white vinegar, and Castile soap, your favorite kind. You can do really anything you need to do in your house, in your shower, anywhere with just those few things.
And it sounds like that would be a lot more affordable than the stuff we're buying right now, too.
It's really surprising. And I would say, too, that I know I have a bottle that I originally made my all-purpose cleaner with some Castile and some water. And as it runs low, I just add a little water to it, and I really don't find myself adding more Castile, and I think it's equally as effective. So I keep playing with my ratios to see, how much is too much and how much is not enough. So it's really personal to your tastes, but again, amazing how easy it is to clean really everything in your house and yourself.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm one of those people who I don't want to buy something if it's tested on animals.
Yep.
Although it sounds like there's really probably not any vinegar that was tested on the animal.
You probably drink it. I don't know that I would want to, but you probably could.
And then does Castile soap have a smell to it at all?
Yes. There is a plain Castile, which if there was a generic soap smell, I don't know, I almost think of like Ivory soap or Dove soap when I think of that. But there are also scented Castiles. I think Dr. Bronner's is probably the most famous Castile that people will find out there. In my store, I carry Vermont Soap Company's Castile, and they produce multiple scents. I carry the lavender, which is great, and then they also have a patchouli rose that I carry. So again, you can get them scented lightly or plain.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bronner's doesn't test on animals, right? I don't think so.
Sorry, say it again.
I was saying, I think Dr. Bronner's doesn't test on animals.
They do not. And their label is really great because it does give you a list of 13 to 15 different uses. Or ways to dilute it for different uses. And the only reason that I don't carry them is because they only allow brick and mortar stores to carry their product. And since I'm only online right now, I can't. But I have found that Vermont Soap Company's Castile is equally as good and really, really wonderful.
Nice. Is there advice on anything else in our home that we're breathing in and being exposed to that might affect our health that we should keep an eye out for?
I'm having a struggle myself, and I think, you know, full transparency and something good probably for your listeners to hear is that even though I'm of the mindset enough that I have a store, certainly it's a work in progress. And I say all the time that there are things that you have to decide what works for you and what you're comfortable with. And so one of my struggles is I love candles. I love having candles in my house and scented candles, but I'm constantly hearing that fragrance could be, and I say could because I think there's a variety of research points on it, could be bad for you. So one of the things that I've added, though I do still have a candle now and then, especially this time of year, is the oil diffusers. Again, just using that same lemon oil that you might put into your cleaning spray. You can put some of that lemon oil or a citrus oil, a lavender oil, or, you know, really any oil of your choosing into your scent diffuser. And that does a really nice job of putting some nice scent into your home. Because again, I would say the jury is out. Some people say any candles. Others say soy candles are okay, or naturally scented candles are okay. So again, tons of research, somewhat indecisive on that one. So for that, I would lean towards everything in reason.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm not surprised to hear that. Like you said, there's probably a full spectrum of mass-made candles with all kinds of junk in them to like very natural ones.
Yeah. And then another thing that I would talk to would be your containers that you're using. I just watched a video the other day of a woman from the UK, and she was talking about how one of the big mistakes that she made when she tried to reduce her impact was she took all of her plastic containers that she had for food storage and threw them out. And she was angry with herself for doing that because if you're storing dry goods, it's not going to leach into your food. And if you are storing, you know, small sewing notions or buttons or I don't know, anything really that's a non-food item, for her, she felt like it was a bad choice to just flat out throw the things out and then feel like she needed to go buy glass or other containers. So she, you know, she made a good point in that regard. But I would say that would be another thing that I would consider is what is it that you're using for your leftovers or food storage? I tend to reuse anything that I purchase from the store that comes in a glass jar. I save them all. Our drinking glasses in our cupboard are jars that once held jelly or pickles or anything else like that that we've purchased. So that's something that you could consider making a swap out for in your home. Mason jars are always great. And then for snack bags, we've stopped using those. And I do have two different kinds. I have a silicone set of reusable bags that my kids tend to like. If there's something like strawberries or something that could be a little juicy. And then I also have whipped up, just because I've kind of found my love for my sewing machine and my serger, but I've whipped up some little snack bags that I made from old clothes or cloth that I found. And between my sewing machine and some Velcro, we made some little snack bags for, you know, pretzels and cookies and things like that they might take with them for lunch.
That sounds really cute. And I guess you can make really, really cute ones for the kids.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. And you don't have to be a sewing whiz. Believe me, I cannot make anything that's not square. So, but I mean, I've even gone so far as a sweatshirt that was a hoodie that we didn't want the hood anymore. I cut the hood off the sweatshirt, but then I sewed up one side of the hood and used it as a drawstring bag for produce in the grocery store. So you can be as creative and inventive as you want to be.
Yeah, this is very resourceful. Yeah, the plastic, the point you made about plastics, you see more and more you can microwave in the bag and of these frozen vegetables or the reusable plastic containers that I see people at work microwaving their food in it. And even when it says,
don't do it.
I'm like skeptical because usually you find out I'm pretty old. So you go like decades go by and then it's like, oh wait, that thing we told you was okay is not. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that kind of stuff?
I have mixed feelings again. I think I just did a blog post the other day about extremism in any direction can be crazy. And I think that, one of the things that I don't want to do is make it sound like if you don't jump into this process with both feet, then you don't care about the environment, you don't care about yourself, you don't care about your family. And I think that's not right. I think any small step that you make towards change and being mindful about what's out there and anything that you do to educate yourself can only benefit you and your family, but you have to do it in steps that make sense for you. So, you know, if you personally, like I just said about candles, if you are like, I don't know how I feel, I think this container is okay, the other one is not, again, it has to be something that fits in with your, not only your belief system, but what you're willing to accept and move on from. So, you know, I think there are a lot of people who think like you do and say, oh, I don't want to heat this up in this particular container. And then I think there's other people who think that way, but they're in a rush and maybe one day they do heat it up in that container. Again, it's okay to make mistakes or fall off the wagon, as it were, or only have one foot on the wagon.
Yeah.
As you move forward.
Truth be told, it's okay. So I never heat them up in the plastic containers. I always take time to dump it out. But the ones that say you can microwave in the bag, I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I dump it in a bowl and microwave it, but here and there, you're right.
We can't beat ourselves up for things like this. I think just the fact that we're mindful about it and are taking any steps at all in that direction towards our own well-being or the planet's well-being is something that we should be proud of. And again, you know, it's no different than starting an exercise regimen. And, you know, there are some days that you go twice a week and there's some days that you go five times a week. But hey, that's still seven times that you've gone. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the way that I think we need to look at it.
Right. And that's the whole point of better and betterer, right? It's when no one's going to be perfect overnight and whatever moves you want to make in these dimensions of wellness. And like you said, do it in steps that make sense to you and that are a fit for you and your family, given where you're at. So yeah.
And that's the bottom line is that there's plenty of things in the world that we do because we're afraid of what will happen if we don't, or we do because someone said, because I said so, and those things don't necessarily leave lasting change in your life if you're doing them because you're afraid of the consequence if you don't. But if you're doing things because you believe in it or you're interested in it or you're passionate about it, those are the changes that are going to be sustainable and that you're going to continue to do. And I think the same is true for people who have families. I know my kids are 15, 16, and 17. And they'll joke with me and say that they want to revoke my Netflix account because every time I watch a documentary, they're like, oh God, what can't we do now? Because you heard something or learned something. But as much as they joke with me about it, they have embraced this process and this journey and they don't balk, they're open-minded and willing to try it. And again, if it's something that they don't fully embrace, I don't force it on them because as they grow to be comfortable with it, then hopefully they'll embrace it themselves.
Yeah. I think not forcing things on your kids is huge. I was a super strict vegan for about 7 years. And when I say super strict, I also mean I was eating healthy foods. You'd be so proud. I went to a co-op. I had the cloth bag. You had to bring your container, weigh it when you got there, put the food. So awesome. Very little waste. And then I met people at a vegan festival and they were like, they were older women. And they said, you know, our parents raised us vegan. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so great. You're vegans. They're like, not anymore. And it was because their parents were so strict. So if my kid said, hey, I want to try a chicken nugget, I'd say, all right, try it. And then, you know,
right.
And for the most part, they really gravitated towards very that diet anyway, like a very healthy diet. And I'm not even a perfect vegan, so it's interesting because you want to show them, but you don't want to force it on them because then they'll rebel.
I say forcing for the dangerous things.
And then the other point where you said they were making fun of you for the documentaries I watched, Petfold. And after Petfold, I began doing the canine nutrigenomics diet with my dogs, which basically means I'm their personal chef. So, so that can relate to that. But it's good information. And then, like you said, you just do what makes sense for you. And my dogs are teeny. You see the little picture, right? If I had a giant dog, I probably wouldn't be cooking for a giant dog. So, so it kind of works out because combined, my dogs weigh probably 12 pounds. but you were talking too about what you believe in and what you're interested in and what you're passionate about as you're making decisions. And I thought that you're an inspiration because you started a business that's in line with what you believe in and you're interested in and passionate about. So can you tell us a little bit about Zilch Zero Waste?
Sure. So Zilch Zero Waste Goods is a side hustle that I started in October. So we're brand new, 2018. And it came initially from just by chance over the summer. My husband and I went into this zero waste store in Woodstock, New York, which is about 20 minutes from where I live. And we walked around the store and I went, oh my God, this is awesome. What a great idea. What a great concept. It was a come in, fill and refill your product type place. And it was also a place that you could buy things that were hard goods, you know, that would make that process easier or things that you could use on your journey. And I went, man, that's awesome. So the downside is that my 9-to-5 job is that I'm a secondary school principal and I've been doing that for I'm 20 years in education, so it's not necessarily where I could just say, okay, I'm going to switch careers at this point, especially with 15, 16, and 17-year-old at home. But it was something that I thought, you know what, I can start this side hustle, and it's something that I'm interested in and passionate about, and let's just think about ways that I can make an impact and do this thing that I'm enjoying and help other people make the shift too. So I started my website, like I said, in October. And what it is exactly an online version of what I saw. So I have multiple bulk containers of what I would call soft goods that you would use for personal and home cleaning. So everything from Castile soap to shampoos and conditioners to pet shampoo. I have lotion, those types of items. I have toothpaste and Arnica cream and those types of things. And then I also have hard goods that are reusable. So I have all kinds of different reusable bags, coffee mugs from a company called Joco that are great. I have bamboo toothbrushes and toothpaste. I've just this weekend started making my own unpapers, which some people call them unpaper towels, but mine are of a size that they could be a towel or a wipe or a washcloth or whatever you want to use them for. So I have those that are available. I try to curate items that I like to buy and use that also would make somebody else's journey easily. So I collaborate with really great companies like Vermont Soap Company and Eco Bags and Eco Jars that have these great mason jar lids and reusable straws. I collaborate with Beekman 1802, which is some amazing shampoo and conditioner. And then, like I said, some of the things I'm making myself, such as dryer balls and little face scrubbies and the unpapers. So it's a way for me to get my crafty side out and still, I guess, helping others do what I'm enjoying. So it is a website at this point, and I just started a Facebook community called the Zilch Project, and that is a place that we're launching where coming up in the new year, we're going to do some challenges so people can do some free challenges, and then we're also going to do some paid coaching challenges in the future to help people along in their journey, because it's certainly easier when you have other people telling you that it's okay to not be 100% in all the time.
That's wonderful. Yeah, keep us apprised of those challenges, because I'd love to, well, I would love to share everything out. So just
absolutely, we'll do. We'll do.
Email me, because that's what I pay attention best to, because we have different people in all our social media.
For sure. And then down the road, hopefully we'll have a Zilch Project podcast just like this, where we can just talk about all of these things and interview people that are doing great things.
That's fantastic. I what stood out in that whole, I mean, everything sounds like awesome products, and I'm glad you're doing the crafty side and combining it with really great companies that have as part of their mission, this commitment to the environment. But the bamboo toothbrushes, like that stood out to me, because I've looked at like how high tech all these toothbrushes are with the rubber grip and that, and then you just toss it, right?
Yeah, you do. And they're totally non-recyclable.
Right. And then, okay, so that's awesome. I'm going to check out those for myself. Those are perfect gifts. I'm not launching this before the holiday, but happy Valentine's. You get a bamboo toothbrush.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody wants to kiss anybody with gnarly teeth.
Are there better things that we could use in terms of floss? And now my dentist gave me these little, they almost look like tiny, tiny bottle cleaners that you're supposed to stick through in between your teeth. And again, it's like, all right, that's a great invention. It's getting plaque out of my teeth, but I feel terrible. They gave me samples where I'm like, oh, that's like a lot of garbage, right? So I don't know.
There is some what I would call eco-friendly floss out there. And again, being new, only a month and a half or so into this, we're still curating different products. And so either from feedback that we hear from other people or some other companies that I follow will show that they carry something, and I'll be like, oh, that looks great. Then I will look into it and try it. So there is some eco-friendly floss out there, but I haven't gotten any to carry in my shop just yet. And I would add too, that's the really great thing about the zero waste community, is that it's so non-competitive. I think, you know, there are other stores that I follow or who follow me that we totally support each other and say, oh, I love this product that you have. Who's your supplier? And you share it, because the more people that buy from me or buy from this other store, that just means there's more people that are making a mark, or less of a mark, I should say. You know, and trying to make a difference. So that's one thing that I love, is that, you know, if it was two restaurants or two retail stores, you know, they may not be as friendly with each other, but the zero waste community is definitely very, very supportive of each other. And I love that.
I love that too. And in my field, like, we have some wellness products and wellness offerings, and I feel the same way, that we're all part of this same movement, and it's not a competition.
Yeah.
And when people are out there doing something that's helping others be well, then that makes me happy. And I've really, you know, I was astounded that someone who had something like relatively similar to our mini foam roller, she came up to us like offering to like show us her pricing. We were telling her how we get the custom brands, and she was telling us, oh, you should do this. It'll be this, you know, like very, very helpful. So instead of viewing me as like, who's this new girl on the circuit? I want to make sure she stays in her lane. Like, she was so nice to us. And I was, yeah. So it's not just me, because I feel very, I'm happy when I see anyone working in wellness. And like, what you're doing overlaps too, because it's the wellness of the person, wellness of the environment. And it's like, right, you just want to share and spread it, versus other industries where maybe it is cutthroat competitive and people feel like, yeah, they need to, you know, have that competition. So I love that.
No, I think that's really great.
Yeah. Cool. So, okay. So we want to get all your links, but I could also put these in the show notes so that you could tell us now, and then this will be betterandbetterer.com/4.
So, all the links, or I'll send you all the show links and such, but I'll mention them here. No problem. Our website is www.zilchzerowastegoods.com. And then you can find us on Facebook at Zilch Zero Waste Goods. And our community, learning community, is called the Zilch Project, and it is linked through the Zilch Facebook page as well as a standalone. You can find us on Instagram at Zilch ZW Goods, and we're on Twitter the same way, Zilch ZW Goods. So we're kind of all over the interwebs.
Love it. Okay, cool. Great. So another thing we like to do on our blog is build out these growing lists for ideas across a few topics, mm-hmm. one of which is called the Playful Rituals List, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
A simple ritual that you could do that's playful, that will get you in that different zone, right? So do you have any ideas for that list for us?
I do. I know it's one of my things. This one falls into my my ride to work in the morning, which is only about 20 minutes. But my ride to work is always filled with one or two songs that I will sing at the top of my lungs between here and work. And those sort of get me in a really great mindset for on my way there, pepped up, ready to go. Obviously, I'm taking care of over 500 kids that I'm trying to be happy and upbeat for. So that really gets me in a good spot. And then on the way home, I actually listen to a podcast of choice because, again, I'm more in a thinking mindset at that point in the day. And it's good to sort of zen out to on the way back. So music for me is 1,000,000% my thing. I pick the songs and the songs change depending on what it is that I'm setting myself up for, but there's always a song or two that I'll listen to lead me into the activity that I'm about to embark on.
Excellent. So any top of mind songs that you care to share?
Right this moment, I am all hot on Queen, thanks to the movie being out. My kids think it's this new great group that I'd never heard of before. It's like, dude, I grew up with them. But, so Don't Stop Me Now has been that, and Radio Gaga have been the two that I've been listening to in the mornings on the way.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. And then if I could ask you a few more.
Absolutely.
So the other list I have a few of these online right now, but it's a faith and humanity cheat sheet. So just that, a lot of times when I don't know, it's social media, I had to delete all the things that just brought me down. Even people I really like, I was like, I don't want to see that. And I want to see the good stuff, almost that chicken soup for the soul kind of little list. It's called the faith and humanity cheat sheet. So do you have any little stories or ideas of what we could add to that list?
Yeah, I have one story that's sort of generic and then one thing that you can do to restore your own faith in humanity. And this, the holiday season, I know this is going to come out after that, but certainly it could be a New Year's resolution. So I would say I'm always so inspired faith in humanity wise because I'm a principal in a very rural school district and we have a lot of families who struggle to make ends meet and so what we do is we put up this Christmas tree and our our school counselor and one of our teachers, they reach out to some families that we know struggle and get some ideas of things that their children need or that their family needs. And then what we do is we put up this Christmas tree in sort of a hidden location and teachers and people that work in the building, they'll pluck these items off the tree, go shopping for the items and bring them in. And then what ends up happening is we're able to furnish Christmas, basically, for all of these families. And sometimes it's everything from, you know, coats and boots and toys to, you know, dinner meals or Thanksgiving meals that we're able to provide for them. And every year, even if the need increases, my staff is so generous. And I'm always so impressed with how above and beyond they go to secretly provide for these families. And so we used to give the gifts wrapped and now we give them unwrapped with wrapping paper and all the trimmings because I know the parents like to be able to do that for their families. And the looks on their faces when we deliver the gifts is just unbelievable. So please know, I guess, that there's a lot of good that goes on, even though your Facebook feed may tell you otherwise. So that would be the generic thing. And then thing you can do is another thing that I learned from a friend who we keep a jar with change in it. We call it the Christmas jar, but it could certainly be a New Year's jar. And you always just throw your loose change in that jar. And what we do at the end of that year is take that jar and just secretly leave it on the doorstep of somebody that you know could use it. And sometimes it could have as much as, you know, $80 to $100 worth of change. But again, it's sort of the appropriate time to ring and run. So we'll drop the change on their porch, ring, run, hide, and watch them get the surprise. So something great that you could easily do, because again, we all have loose change and you just throw it in your jar all year long.
Oh, that's so sweet. Those are both so sweet. I was getting chills during the first one. And, and I like the execution of it. I like that you hang on the tree what's needed, and then they're putting the gifts anonymously, which also is like fun, right? It shows that people don't necessarily need the credit for I bought the best gift or whatever, but yeah. It also, I could imagine, like, as you're putting it there, it's like that little secretive fun.
Well, a lot of the families have a lot of pride, so they don't want their kids to know that they weren't able to do this
and then letting the parents wrap it, that's the sweetest. So that's cool. And then the ring and run is, that's amazing. That's definitely cool. And a brand new lesson is called Undo It Forward, which is kind of just doing nice things out in the world. So, you know, it's kind of sort of on that faith and humanity cheat sheet. But I think the faith and humanity for me was more like looking back and looking at things that people did that were truly touching, like a little story to remind you that while people are out there who are doing good things. And then the Undo It Forward is like things that you could do to help kind of offset some of the other things that are going on that aren't so nice.
Right. So I would say, you know, the story I just told you certainly would be in the first wheelhouse, both of the stories. And the Undo It Forward, you know, I think it depends on how simple or how grandiose you want to get. Something as simple as paying the toll for the car behind you every now and then is a good one. You know, and I think there's been times that I try to teach my kids that waiters and waitresses and people in service positions such as that work really hard. So occasionally we will be in a restaurant and we will leave a ridiculously large tip for our waiter or waitress. And my kids, again, they're 15, 16, and 17 now, but we started this when they were much smaller. They'd be like, this is a good one, Mom. This is one that we should do it for. You know, whether they were a college student or they talked about that they did this in two other jobs. And similarly, we would leave, you know, maybe the tip at 20% should be $12, but we might leave like 40 or 50. And again, try to sneak out before they realize that we did it. So things like that, you know, buying coffee for the person in front of you in line at the cafe, little things all the way up to big things make a huge difference.
That's great. I see a recurring theme here with the, like, the ring and run and the dine and dash out before they could.
Because if they know that you're doing it, they try to give it back to you. So you have to run away.
We once paid the toll for someone, and this was me and my older daughter probably like over a decade ago. We paid the toll for the people behind us. But then when they were starting to drive to like follow us, we got scared for some reason. And we were like speeding out like we were in a chase scene from a movie running away from them.
That's funny.
But I'm in a different headspace now. We probably would like just honk and smile at the toy. But but that was, you know, our East Coast days.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Any final words for us?
My final words would be find little steps that you are willing to make. And again, you know, if I'm sitting here preaching to you that you shouldn't use drinking straws, you know, that are plastic, and that doesn't seem like a big deal to you, but you can wrap your brain around reusable bags, then go for reusable bags. You know, if you bring them to the grocery store on the regular, but you don't keep them with you in your purse and you're at a place like Target or Marshall's where you only have one, then, you know, maybe a little tiny guy that would pop in your bag would be a measurable change that you could make to start with. So again, you know, think about what's important to you and what you think you can embrace. So what I like to challenge people to do is for 1 week, keep track of how many plastic bags, takeaway containers, and maybe single use straws and coffee cups, things like that you get, and just keep track of it for 1 week and just, you know, for your own mind. And maybe that will either make you go, oh, that's not really that bad. Or it may make you step back and be like, holy cow. You know, and you might surprise yourself at how much there really is that, again, because we're so busy, we don't pay attention to. And once you've taken that week to really tally it up, that's when you can really step back and say, all right, what's something here that I can really make an impact with without a huge inconvenience to myself, or, you know, that's a small lift and not a heavy lift. That's, you know, a first step that I can take. So that's what I would put out there to challenge your listeners.
Yay. Thank you. Nice save. Thank you. Cause that was my question that I didn't totally
So wonderful. So that sounds like an awesome challenge. Keep a tally for 1 week. How many plastic bags, single use items, takeout containers, coffee cups, straws, etc.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention, you know, we were talking about the snack bags before for the kids and how those could be made cute, that if someone was buying a reusable bag, one of the things you had suggested to be offline was that they treat themselves to.
Yeah, absolutely. Treat yourself to a really great reusable coffee mug or water bottle that you think is adorable, because then you're more likely to use it. You know, if it's the right size or it fits in your spin bike and your cup holder in your car, you know, or you just really like the look of it or it feels good the way it sits in your hand, then by all means, treat yourself to it. Because if you're going to use it over and over again, it's well worth whatever money you spend on it.
Right. And getting that emotional connection is huge, because if it's adorable, that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Tara.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks so much for talking to us today. This will be online at betterandbetterer.com/4. So if anything that you want to grab, we'll post all the links there. We'll post the little challenge there.
And we'll cross-post it on our site and blog page also, so that people that follow us that don't know about you can check it out as well.
Wonderful. All right. Till next time, everyone, be better and betterer.
Thanks for listening. Show notes are online at betterandbetterer.com. Find a buddy to try out this episode's challenge. We want to hear how it goes. So hit us up on Instagram at betterandbetterer.